overwhelming I am and how amazing and impressive it is that all of you have chosen in the middle of a very, very busy workday to sacrifice a little bit of time to come and to learn this afternoon. And I find your commitment and dedication to Talmud Torah on a personal level, I find it inspiring, uplifting, and it gives me a certain sense of chizuk. And therefore, I'd like to thank Saul for inviting me, Saul who really typifies that kind of sacrifice for Talmud Torah, the way that he learns, the shiurim that he gives. I would like to thank him for inviting me to be here, and it's a zechus, a covenant and a pleasure to be able to learn a little bit with you this afternoon. And I wish you all hatzlacha b'chol ma'aseh yadeichem, hein beruchnius v'hein begashmius. This week's parasha, of course, is Parashas Korach, which is typically identified as the parasha of Machlekes. And therefore, Reb Saul asked me to discuss perhaps the topic of Machlekes in halacha. When is it appropriate? When is it not appropriate? And there is perhaps nothing more Jewish than expressing an opinion and being able to formulate an argument. There's an old joke, which I've told once before in the shtibel, about a new rav who takes over a shul around this time of the year, around the time of Shabbos, Mevarchim, Rosh Chodesh Av. And the first Shabbos that he's in the shul, Machlekes breaks out. So you say, Av HaRachamim, on Shabbos, Mevarchim, Rosh Chodesh Av, Machlekes in the shul. So they say, oh, now we have a rav. The rav will decide, should we say Av HaRachamim or not? So they go over to the rav, they ask him, should we say Av HaRachamim? So Rav says, I don't know, there's two minhagim. What was the old minig of the shul? It's not a new shul. What was the minig? Did they say it or didn't they say it? And they didn't remember. So Rav said, well, let's go over to one of the older members and we'll ask him, what was the minig of the shul? So they go over to an older member of the shul and they say, was the minig of the shul to skip Av HaRachamim and Shabbos Mevarchim and Shchei D'Shav? So the man says, no, the minig was not to skip it. So he said, oh, so the Rav says, so the minig was to say Av HaRachamim, Shabbos Mevarchim and Shchei D'Shav? He says, no, the minig also was not to say it. So he said, if the minig is not to skip it, and the minig is not to say it, what was the minig? She said, the minig was we had a fight about it. Every year we had a machlekes. That was the minig. And so too, to a certain extent, in halacha, we have a minig, or if you will, a mesorah of machlekes. Every morning, we say after Birchas HaTorah, the perek of Ezehu Mekayman from Masechet Zvachim at the end of Karbonos. Why do we say specifically that perek of Mishnayos? So Beis Yosef quotes in the name of the Ra'ah, the Noid Behuda is the same thing in his drushes, because it's the only perek in Gan Shas of all Mishnayos that there's no machlekes and there's no disputes. Every other perek of Mishnayos has machlekes. Every Daf Gemara, for sure, has many disputes, many machlekes. That's the one perek of Mishnayos where there's no machlekes. So if every perek of Mishnayos, every Daf Gemara has machlekes and has disputes, what I would like to try and understand a little bit this afternoon is what then is a different about the machlekes of Korach and Moshe Rabbeinu. Why is this machlekes not part of our Mesorah of machlekes? Why is this treated so differently, rejected so absolutely, and so emphatically? And perhaps if we understand that, it will give us a little bit of guidance in understanding in our contemporary times what kind of machlekes is appropriate and is within our Mesorah of machlekes, and what kind of machlekes is not appropriate. To be sure, the machlekes of Korach v'Adasa was not a personal, a petty dispute, like a type of that breaks out in between neighbors and, individuals, that their feelings get hurt. The machlekes of Korach v'Adasa, even though it was laced and tinged with a personal agenda, was a halachic, ideological, theological machlekes. And this is apparent from the Mishnah Masechtas Avos. The Mishnah, which is Ois Aleph over here, which we're familiar with, asks what is a, or describes two types of machlekes. There's a machlekes which is l'shem shamayim, which is soifel l'hiskayim, will endure and persist. And then there's a machlekes she'enu l'shem shamayim, ein soifel l'hiskayim, will not persist. So the Mishnah asks for an example, what's a machlekes that's l'shem shamayim? That's machlekes hillel and shamayim. What's a machlekes that's not l'shem shamayim? It's a machlekes of korach v'adosai. So Rabbi Yeruchim, in his Sefer Das Torah, on Parshas Korach, asks, how could we possibly put these two types of machlekes in the same Mishnah? Korach v'Adasai are arguably two of the, that group is arguably the most despicable, infamous Jews in all of Jewish history. How could we put them in the same breath with Hillel and Shammai, heroes, champions of the Messiah? How could we put the two in the same Mishnah? So says Rabbi Yeruchim, you see from here that even though Korach had a personal agenda, fundamentally, essentially, the machlekes of Korach v'Adasa was similar to that of Hillel and Shammai. They have some similarities between them. They were not that different at its core. And this is apparent as well from the Gemara in Masechta Sota. The Gemara over here, Ois Beis, tells us that when Moshe Rabbeinu is davening in Parshas V'eschanan to enter into Eretz Yisrael, Kadosh Baruch Hu rejects his tefillah, and he tells him, Rav Loch, Al Toisef Daber Elai Oy Badavar Hazeh. Kadosh Baruch Hu says to him, I had enough of you, please don't daven anymore about this issue. So ask the Gemara, why was Moshe Rabbeinu spoken to in that fashion? So the Gemara says, it was a punishment to Moshe Rabbeinu because of the way he reacted, he responded to Korach. When Korach wanted a position of greater substance in Klal Yisrael, Moshe Rabbeinu responds, no, Rav Lochem. He says, you have enough. And so too, me that connected me, that Kadosh Baruch Hu spoke to Moshe Rabbeinu, Rav Loch. So ask of Chaim Shmulevitz in the Sichos Musar, he says, what did Moshe Rabbeinu do wrong? He said, you have enough covered, you don't need any more. So why was he responded to Rav Loch, that you shouldn't enter Eretz Yisrael? So Chaim Shmulevitz explains, it's because Korach wasn't only interested in covered, he wanted a greater relationship with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. He had a she'ifa for Ruchnius. And therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu was wrong in telling him, Rav Lochem, no, you have enough. There's no such thing as enough when it comes to Ruchnius, a deep, you know, relationship with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. So therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu, Mida Keneged Mida, was punished when he wanted to enter Eretz Yisrael. Kadosh Baruch Hu tells him, Rav Loch, you have enough. Now you want to enter Eretz Yisrael too? He says, you have enough also. Also a punishment to Moshe Rabbeinu. But you see that Korach was motivated a little bit by the fact that he wanted to have a greater, deeper relationship with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. It could even be that's why Moshe Rabbeinu has to daven to Hashem not to accept the carbon of Korach. Pasuk tells us that Moshe Rabbeinu said, "Vayomer Moshe el Hashem, al teifen el minchosam." Don't accept the carbon of Korach. So as Becheskel Sarna in the Sefer Delias Yecheskel, he says, "Why does Moshe Rabbeinu have to daven not to accept the carbon? Zevach Rishoyim Toeva, a carbon of a Rasha is an abomination. Why does he have to daven not to accept the carbon?" So says to Becheskel Sarna, you see that Korach was motivated by, to a certain extent, was motivated by a desire for a greater relation with the Kadosh Baruch Hu, and therefore initially Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't sure that his carbon was not going to be accepted. So you have to ask a special request. The carbon shouldn't be accepted. In fact, the Chidah goes so far as to say, it's shocking, that in his Sefer Chazdei Avos, on Masechtas Avos, the Machlekes Hillel and Shammai is identical to the Machlekes of Korach Vados. It's the same Nekudas HaMachlekes. Because the Gemara in Masechtas Yevamos has a Machlekes in Hillel and Shammai regards to the Pasuk in Parshas Mishpatim of Achri Rabbim Lahatos. We follow the majority. So it's Machlekes Hillel and Shammai, what majority? Majority of what? So Beis Hillel's opinion was a majority of opinions, the numerical majority. That's what you follow. Achri Rabbim Lahatos. And since Beis Hillel outnumbered Beis Shammai, they thought that Halacha should follow them. The opinion of Beis Shammai was, no, it's a majority of wisdom, not a numerical, quantitative majority, a qualitative majority. And the Gemara says, since Beis Shammai was mechadah d'tvei, they were smarter, wiser, more shrewd than Beis Hillel, so they believed the halacha should follow them. So Reis the Chidah, that was the same machlekes Korach and Moshe Rabbeinu. Korach says to Moshe Rabbeinu, Rav Lochem, you have numbers, that's true. But he thought he was, he might have been wrong, but he thought he was mechadah d'tvei. He was smarter than Moshe Rabbeinu, and therefore he said, we have the quantitative, we have the qualitative majority. So, Mamish, the Zelva Machloike, says the Chidah, between Hillel and Shammai and Korach and Moshe Rabbeinu. And if that's the case, so then we need to understand, if they're so similar, and Korach Machloike was not a petty Machloike, it was a Machloike in Halacha, Machloike, and he wanted a greater relationship with the Ribbono Shel Olam. Ideological Machloike, why is he rejected so completely and so emphatically, and why is it treated in all other differences, all the machlokes that we find in every page of the Mishnayos, every page of the Gemara? So I think in order to understand this properly, we have to go back and analyze a little bit more closely that familiar Mishnah, Masechtas Avos. There are two questions that the Mefarshim deal with on that Mishnah. Well known. The first has to do with the second part of the Mishnah. When the Mishnah is describing or contrasting the machlokes in between Hillel and Shammai and that of Korach and Moshe Rabbeinu, there's a discrepancy in the way that they're presented. Hillel and Shammai, both parties to the machlokes are mentioned. But when it's the machlokes of Korach and Moshe Rabbeinu, only one party is mentioned. Moshe Rabbeinu is omitted. It's Korach Vadosa. So all the Mefarshim deal with this. Some suggest it's because Korach was not L'Shem Shammayim. Moshe Rabbeinu was L'Shem Shammayim. Korach had a personal agenda. Or perhaps it's because Korach was unwilling to acknowledge it was another point of view. that had legitimacy. So it was a one-sided machlekes. It was just Korach Vadosa. As far as Korach was concerned, Moshe Rabbeinu didn't have a leg to stand on. There was no other possible way of viewing it, no other possible perspective. Or perhaps it's because both parties are mentioned. There was infighting between Korach Vadosa. Many different, which is perhaps a hallmark of a machlekes, is not l'shem shemayim. Many different suggestions are made. It's hard, though, to really justify because Korach had a personal agenda. Many times people have a personal agenda. Because he refused to acknowledge someone else's perspective. That's why he elicited such a harsh response. He's treated so extremely. So it could be that Moshe Rabbeinu's name is left out of this Mishnah for a more fundamental reason. There was something much more sinister and much more destructive in the machlekes between Korach and Moshe Rabbeinu, more than just the fact that he refused to acknowledge Moshe Rabbeinu's opinion. Maybe there was something a little bit a little bit more destructive. But in order to understand this question, I believe we have to move back to the beginning of the Mishnah, where there's another question that's dealt with by all of the Mefarshim. And that is that the Mishnah says, a machlekes that is l'shem shamayim is soifel l'hiskayim, will endure and persist, as opposed to a machlekes that's not l'shem shamayim. So Bisrael Salant already asked, why is that something that we want? We want a machlekes to persist forever. He says in a certain sense, a machlekes that's l'shem shamayim, about religious matters, is worse, more destructive than a machlekes that's not l'shem shamayim. And a petty machlekes between two people, in a certain sense, is not as destructive as a machlekes that's l'shem shamayim. Machlekes that's between two people, one person can fargin, one person can be meichel. When it's a machlekes l'shem shamayim, it's like, that's not my covet. It's the Ribbono Shel Olam's covet that's on the line. I'm trying to save the shul. I'm trying to save the school. People think that they're the emissaries of the Ribbono Shel Olam. So how can I possibly be meichel? So it says to Bisrael Salata, religious machlekes, that's going to continue on forever. There's a pasuk in Koheles, two psukim right next to each other. One pasuk says, Al tehit tzadik harbe. You shouldn't be too much of a tzadik. The very next pasuk says, Al tirsha harbe. You shouldn't be too much of a rasha. Someone told me they once asked Rav Ruderman, the Rosh Hashiva from there, Yisrael, which is worse, being a rasha harbe? Neither are ideal, but being a rasha harbe, being a tzadik harbe. So Rav Ruderman said, that being a Rasha Harbe is not as bad as being a Tzadik Harbe. Tzadik Harbe is worse. Rasha Harbe, it's just Nogea, his Dalai Lamas. We all recognize he's a Rasha. He recognizes he's a Rasha. Doesn't destroy the community. He wishes he could do better. Even if he can't, okay. But a Tzadik Harbe, so he could destroy the whole community because it's not his covet. It's the Ribbono Shel Olam's covet, and he has to fix this, and he has to fix that. It never ends. So a Tzadik Harbe, to a certain sense, is worse, more destructive than a Rasha Harbe. So why is this something that we are desired, that a machlekes l'shem shamayim soifel l'hiskayim will never end? Why do we want that? We'd rather it die down. What does this mean? So the Magen Avos from the Rashbat, one of the commentaries on Masechtas Avos from the Rishonim, quotes in the name of Rabbeinu Moshe, that with this first part, I think if we analyze the first part of the Mishnah, we'll get a little bit more insight into the second part of the Mishnah. So the first part of the Mishnah, again, what is a machlekes? What does it mean, soifel l'hiskayim, will continue to persist and endure, and why do we want that? So he quotes in the name of Rabbeinu Moshe that what it means is, ultimately the emes, the truth, will emerge. If it's a machlekes l'shem shamayim, we'll arrive at the truth, ultimately. Machlekes not l'shem shamayim, people are not interested in hashing out the truth, we'll never arrive at the truth. That's what it means, ein soifel l'hiskayim. The truth will never emerge. So the Magen Avos, the Rashbat, doesn't like this pshat. He says, "Ve'eni yodea." If you look at the underlined part, "Eni yodea l'fi perushoi ma bein machlekes hilu v'sham and machlekes karech v'adosoi." In both instances, the emes emerged. Ki kan v'kan divrei ha'emes hei miskaimen. In both instances, we arrived at the emes. Hilu and shama, we paskin like hilu. Karech Moshe Rabbeinu, Karech was killed. Moshe Rabbeinu was victorious. The emes emerged. So the Rashbaz doesn't like this pshat. So he suggests a different pshat. The Evshel of Farish, Shedivre Shneim Yiskayimu, what it means, Soifel Yiskayim, is that both opinions will be preserved. Both opinions will be discussed, will be preserved. Whereas a Machlekes that's not L'Shem Shamayim, both opinions will not be preserved. Ha'oisev Ha'amatir, the Fi, why will both opinions be preserved by Machlekes that's L'Shem Shamayim? In both opinions are the word of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So So both opinions will be preserved. What does that mean, that both opinions will be preserved? In what sense are both opinions preserved? And what does that represent? And why is that significant? So if you take a step back to the source for that concept, the Eilu v'Eilu Divrei Elokim Chayim, and that's what it means, that a machlekes es l'shem shamayim es seifel es kayim, because both opinions will be preserved because of Eilu v'Eilu Divrei Elokim Chayim, as opposed to machlekes not l'shem shamayim. Both opinions will not be preserved. What is the significance of both opinions being preserved? What does that represent? So the Gemara tells us in Masechtas Erevin, that's over here, Ois Dawud, with regards to all of the different disputes that existed between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, that finally at the end, they were arguing for 3 years, who does the halacha follow, Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel? The end, Yotza Basko v'Amra, Eilu v'Eilu Divrei Elokim Chayim. Basko came out from Shamayim and said, both of these are the word of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but v'halacha k'Beis Hillel. What does it mean that both are the word of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? What does that mean? So the Nesivus has in his Hakdoma to the parish on Chesh and Mishpat what is perhaps the minimal approach. Minimally what it means is that it's not bitul Torah to learn the opinions of Beis Shammai. That's also part of Torah. It's the word of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's part of Torah. And the Nesivus gives a mashal to it. He says, if you take for example, for him it was something that was accessible to most people, was if you go pearl fishing. So he says, if you go fishing for pearls, so you pick out one oyster, there's nothing inside of it. Then you go, next one, nothing inside. Finally, after 50 oysters, you'll get one pearl. So says the Nesivus, would anyone say that that was a waste of time? It's not a waste of time. That's part of the process of getting pearls, fishing for pearls. Sometimes you miss, sometimes you get a pearl. A more contemporary example is if you ever play a battleship with your kids, so you start out missing the first 10 or 15 times you're going to miss. But that's part of the process of narrowing down where the ships are, and you get a hit finally. That's the whole strategy of the game. So too, l'havdil elef alfi havdolis, says in the Nesivus, to a certain degree, that's what Limud HaTorah is like, is that we have opinions we don't accept. Beis Shammai's opinion is not accepted. Let's even say Beis Shammai's opinion does not correspond to the Emes. Beis Hillel corresponds to the Emes. But Beis Shammai's opinion is not bitul Torah to learn their opinions. It's part of the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. It's much like the fishing for oysters. If I had to give an example in halacha of what it's similar to, it's probably closely similar to a din derabbanan. The Gemara asks us in Mishnah Masechta Shabbos and Daf Chav Gimel that on halachas neiros Chanukah you make the bracha Asher Kedshanu Mitzvayis V'Tzivanu LaHadlik Neir Shel Chanukah. So ask the Gemara, how can you say Asher Kedshan Mitzvayis V'Tzivanu Heichan Tzivanu? Where's the mitzvah? So Gemara says the mitzvah is a pasuk in Parsha Shoftim Loisasim in Adav Ashi Yagidu L'cha Yaminu Smal. That gives the authority to the Chachamim to make mitzvahs. So writes the Ramban in his comments on the Sefer HaMitzvahs of the Rambam that that's only a din derabbanan. That's itself an asmachta. If the pasuk would be a real drusha, giving Chachamim the power to make dinim derabbanan, then every suffik derabbanan is really a suffik deraisa. We should say suffik derabbanan lekula, because it's really a suffik of loisasar. So it says in the Ramban, it must be a din derabbanan. An asmachta. Nonetheless, Rabbi Chanan, in his Shiurim, quotes from Rabbi Chaim, that even the Ramban must agree that dinim derabbanan take on a status, a certain status, midoraisa. It must be a cheftza shel Torah midoraisa. It's part of the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. Says Rabbi Chanan, would anybody say that if you learn dinim derabbanan, you'll be mevatel Torah at a level of deraisa because the din derabbanan, the leisaser, is only an asmachta? So Rabbi Chanan says, no, of course not. A din derabbanan is part of Torah midoraisa. So to the same extent, I believe over here as well, the opinions that we don't accept are part of Torah. That's what it means, Divrei Elokim Chayim. That's minimally what it means. However, the Chiddushei HaRitva writes in that Gemara, it means much more than that. It doesn't only mean that it's like fishing, sometimes you miss, sometimes you hit, and the misses are part of the process. It's not just part of the process. Even the opinions that we don't paskin like represent, to a certain degree, emes. The Chiddushei HaRitva writes over here, Ois Hei, or Ois Ches, I don't know, got misnumbered, that Shalu Rabbanei Tzarfas, the Rabbanim from France, asked, "Ha'eich evshu shushneim divrei elokim chayim v'zeh oisav v'zeh mater? How can it be that both of these are true? This one says it's osir, this one says it's mutter. How can they both be true?" V'tirtzu, and they explained, "Ki kisha'ala Moshe l'marayim, when Moshe Rabbeinu went up to accept the Torah, heru loyal kol davar v'davar mem tes panim li'isar mem tes panim l'heter.
they showed him 49, Kadosh Baruch Hu showed him 49 aspects of Iser, 49 aspects of Heter. For our purposes, I would understand that in the sense that if you properly apply the Yud Gimel Midas, you could arrive at 49 ways that you could justify being Aser, 49 ways you can make it Mutter. All valid applications of the proper methodology of learning Torah, Yud Gimel Midas, Shatarn Nidreshes Bohem, but you could arrive at this conclusion, you could arrive at that conclusion. So Moshe Rabbeinu, we ask the Kadosh Baruch Hu, Shola Kadosh Baruch Hu, Aser, how could this be? Va'omar, and he said, she has a mosul l'chachma Yisrael shebechol dov adov yechra k'maisam. This is given over to the Talmidei Chacham of every generation to use the Yud Gimel Midas and arrive at their conclusion. But both are representations of Emes, of the Ratzon of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They're valid applications of the Yud Gimel Midas. They're both true. So what does Psak mean? Does Psak mean one is more true than the other? Or does Psak just, we have to pick one? We can't have people doing different things, so we have to arbitrarily pick one, as a discussion for another time. But both opinions, even the opinions we reject, Beis Shammai's opinion is emes. It's true, just like Beis Hillel's opinion. What is the source for this concept? How do we know there could be so many possibilities, which in each halacha? So the Gemara Maseches Chagiga claims that's included in the pasuk in Parashas Yisroi. The Gemara says in Chagiga, when you're presented with a shayla, you have Talmidei Chachamim, Elu Halalu Metamin, Halalu Metarin. Some say it's Tameh, some say it's Tar. Halalu Eisrin, Halalu Matirin. These guys say it's Asa, these say it's Mutter. Says the Gemara, all of the possibilities were given Mipi, Adon, Ko, Hamas, and Baruch Hu, the underlined part, all of them are given by the Ribbono Shel Olam. Dichsiv, Vaidaber, Lekim, Es Kol HaDvarim Ha'Elam. Kadosh Baruch Hu said all of these things. All of the possibilities of the Ratzon Hashem are a certain representation of Emes. That's what Elu Ve'Elu Diver Lekim Chayim means. The Rambam writes in his Atama to the Parish of Mishnais, that's why we have so many machleks in every parak of Mishnais, every Dav Gemara, we have so many machleks in. Why do we have so much machlekes in Torah? So the Rambam in his Hakdama to the Parish of Mishnais quotes the opinion of the Gaonim, which he rejects. But the opinion of the Gaonim was, we only have machlekes in Torah because people forgot. Really, everything was given to Moshe Rabbeinu at Har Sinai. And they're basing themselves on this Yushalmi and Masechtes Peah. Oh, it's Yud over here. The Yushalmi says Masechtes Peah, Masha Talmud Vosik Asu Lahairais of Neirabo Kvar Nemar Lamaisha Besina. Whatever Talmud Chacham will say throughout all of the generations was already revealed to Moshe Rabbeinu at Har Sinai. So everything was given to Moshe Rabbeinu. Why do we have Machlokes? So Gemara says in Sanhedrin, when you had the explosion of Talmidim, Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, there were so many, and not everyone, the class size was too big. That's a good raya. Limited the class size. But there are too many kids in the class. They couldn't all learn properly. Rabu machlekes b'Yisrael. So people began to forget things. So they began to forget. Now we had to retrieve it, restore it. With the Yugam Amidus, so then we had the emergence of machlekes. But really, Machlekes did not exist initially when the Torah was given. Everything was given to Moshe Rabbeinu. So the Rambam disagrees with this approach. The Rambam says, the Gemara Menachos against this. The Gemara says, it can't be everything was given to Moshe Rabbeinu entirely. Because the Gemara says, in Maseches Menachos over here, Oisud Beis, familiar Gemara, that when Moshe Rabbeinu was on top of Har Sinai, receiving the Torah, so Kadosh Baruch Hu told him to draw crowns on top of the Torah. Then he says, why am I drawing all these crowns? Kadosh Baruch Hu said, there'll be a Talmud Chacham, who will darish and tilei tilim shel halachas, reams and reams of halachas from these crowns. So Moshe Rabbeinu asked, he said, I want to see this Rebbe Kiva, who's going to learn out these halachas. So Kadosh Baruch Hu kind of, put him back in the shir of Rebbe Kiva. He's sitting there in the eighth row, at the end of the first line over here, and the Gemara says, lo haya yoidea mahin oimen. Moshe Rabbeinu didn't know what they were talking about. So Toshesh Krechoi, he became depressed. Kevin Shigil with Dover Echod, once they got to one item that they were discussing, Amrloi Talmida of Rebbe Minayin Lecha, they said to Rebbe Kiva, how do you know this? Amrloi Halach L'Moshe Misinai. It's Halach L'Moshe Misinai Nizyash V'daitai. Then he calmed down. So Maral writes in the Be'er Hagoyla, you see from here, it can't be that everything was given to Moshe Rabbeinu at Har Sinai, that Yushalmi, we cannot interpret as it might appear, everything was given to Moshe Rabbeinu. That's not what it means. Says the Maral, what it means is that the rules were given to Moshe Rabbeinu and, guidance about how to apply them, but you could arrive at different conclusions. So Moshe Rabbeinu was given it all in potential, but not every single thing that every Talmud Chacham would be Mechadish was told to Moshe Rabbeinu. That's why he didn't know what Rabbi Kiva was talking about. He was Toshash Koichai, says the Maral, because he thought they went off the rails. These guys aren't using my rules anymore. How could it be he doesn't understand? Then when he heard Aloch L'Moshe Misinai, it's not that he got, a shout-out, and then he calmed down. It was because he saw they're still using my rules. Then he was Nisyash V'daita. Then he calmed down. So the Rambam says, Machlekes is part of Torah. All Moshe Rabbeinu was given was the Chumash, was the rules, and how to apply the rules, the Ribbono Shel Olam puts into our hands. And therefore, you have Machlekes. Different Talmidei Chachomim throughout the generations apply the Yud Gimel Midas differently in every generation. And that's why, says the Rambam, we have this Messiah of Machlekes. And that's why Elu V'Elu, Divrei Elokim Chayim, both perspectives can be true as long as one applies the Yud Gimel Midas properly. This concept is a halachic concept, by the way. It's not just a hashkafic idea. Elu V'Elu, Divrei Elokim Chayim. The Mishkan Yaakov writes, that's the basis for this comment of the Gemara Masechtas Erevin. The Gemara says in Masechtas Erevin, when it comes to Hilchas Avelos, Halacha Kedivrei HaMekel Ba'Ovel. We're Mekel, like the most lenient position when it comes to Hilchas Avelos. Why are we Mekel like the most lenient? And the Tosfos writes in that Gemara, Afilu Yochel B'Mokom Rabim, and Afilu when it comes to Afilu Avelos Yomishin Deraisa, we're Mekel like the most lenient opinion. Why are we always Mekel when it comes to Hilchas Avelos? So Mishkanes Yaakov explains in his Tshuvas and in his comments on the Gemara Brachis that it's based on a Sifrei. The Pasuk says in Parashas Emor, with regards to a Kayin, one of the Shiva Kraivim, a Kayin goes to the funeral, was a sister, unmarried sister. So the Pasuk says, Lo Yitama. To her, he should be Metame himself. So the Sifrei comments, Al Havada Metame Velo Al Safik. If he's not sure that it's his sister, he doesn't go to the funeral. It's quoted in the Shulchan Aruch. That let's say he's not sure that this is his child. It was mixed up in the nursery, or he's not sure if it's from the previous husband. So over here, Ayis Yedal says in the Shulchan Aruch, "Lahayim metame lehem v'loy l'sofik." The person is a sofik har, if you're not metame. The only time there's avelos, the only time a kohen has to be metame himself, is if it's with certainty. I know with certainty that this is the karav. Then there's avelos. If you have any sofik about it, then there's no avelos. So writes the Mishkanes Yaakov. That's why we don't say Safik Deraisa L'Chumra when it comes to Avelos. Because every Safik, Melo, there's no Avelos. The only time you have Avelos is if you have certainty. If you have any measure of Safik, any modicum of Safik, no Avelos. So writes the Mishkanes Yaakov, every Machlekes HaPoiskim to a certain degree, even when it's Yochav B'Makom Rabim, when we say Yochav B'Rabim, Halacha K'Rabim, to a certain degree is a Safik. Why is it a Safik? Every Machlekes HaPoiskim? Because Elu V'Elu, Divrei Elokim Chayim. There's truth to this opinion, and there's truth to that opinion as well. So we treat every Machlekes HaPoiskim as a kind of, as a suffix in a certain respect, and therefore we're Mako, whenever it comes to Hilchas Avelos, even Machlekes HaPoiskim, we follow the most lenient opinion. This has its basis in the comment of the Ran. If you look over here, Ois Tezvav, the Ran writes in Mesechtas Kiddushin with regards to Arla and Chutz La'aretz. Arla and Eretz Yisrael is a pasuk in the Torah. You can't have the fruits the first 3 years that they grow. Arla and Chutz La'aretz applies too. You can't have the first fruits the first 3 years that a tree grows. But it's only it's a halacha l'moshe misinai, not a pasuk. So the Gemara says halacha l'moshe misinai was sfeika mutter vado aser. If it's a suffik, then it's mutter. It's only aser if it's a vadai, if it's certain. So if any suffix at all, it's mutter. The Gemara even says that the Amoraim used to take fruits that were arla, fruits that weren't arla, you mix it behind your back, and then you can give it to your friend, no problem. I mean, any time you have arla, I just make a suffix, put it in a grab bag, and now it's mutter. And there's no problem doing that, says the Gemara. Any suffix at all is mutter. So therefore, writes the Ran, that's why the Gemara says, Mesechtas Brachos, Ko Hameko Ba'aretz, Halacha Kamaisa B'Chutz La'aretz. Whoever's most lenient, and Eretz Yisrael, we follow him when it comes to Arlo and Chutz La'aretz. Why do we follow him? Because Yochav Rabim, even though it's Yochav Rabim, Halacha K'Rabim, says the Ran, the Kol Sveika Sharia, any suffik at all is mutter. So Yochav Rabim is considered to be a suffik. Why is it a suffik? Because Elu V'Elu, Divrei Elokim Chayim. These and those have truth to it. So any Machlekes HaPoiskim is a suffik. That's also why the Mishkanes Yaakov says, sometimes when it comes to a Din D'Rabbanan, you could be Mako, but Shas Adchak, like an opinion we don't generally accept. We know this from Kriyashma. You ever daven late Maariv.
So really, the first Mishnah says in Brachis, you're only supposed to say Kriya Shema before Chatzos HaLaila. That's the opinion of the Chachamim, and that's how we paskin. The other opinion of the Mishnah is, Rabbi Gamliel, that you could say Kriya Shema till Alayis HaShachar. So Gemara says, we don't really paskin like Rabbi Gamliel, but Rabbi Shimon, Bar Yochai, paskin like Rabbi Gamliel. And Kedai Hu Rabbi Shimon, Lishma Yichalo B'Shas HaChak. That was Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai's opinion. We don't paskin like that, but you can rely on Rabbi Shimon in a pinch. Why could you rely on Rabbi Shimon in a pinch to paskin like Rabbi Gamliel? If we don't paskin like that, we don't paskin like that. So says the Mishkanes Yaakov, because every opinion, we say Elu V'Elu. So even though I don't paskin like that, but there is truth to it, so maybe in a pinch, you could rely upon that. There's a fascinating tshuva from Rabbi Yosef Engel about Shvias Bizman Hazeh.
Could you explain in a pinch?
By a dinder abanan sometimes. I'll give you another example.
You can like change your... depending on what the circumstances are?
No.
Today I can't do this, but tomorrow I could.
If you're stuck, B'Shas HaChak, the Shulchan Aruch says you can say Kriya Shema after Chatzos. L'chatzig or not. So why, if you're stuck? We don't paskin like that. The answer is, the Gemara says, Kedai hu Rav Shimon lismar chalo B'Shas HaChak. No, it's dinder abanan. You can't do this by a day, right? So too, Rabbi Yosef Engel writes as a sefer called Eitzus Yosef on Shvius Bizman Hazeh. Because he was responding, his mechutin was the Kotzki Rebbe. Kotzki Rebbe wrote that whoever relies on the Heter Mechira is Mechal Shabbos Dino Ka'akum. Because Shemitah Bizman Hazeh is the Raisa, and the Kapasik describes Shemitah as a Shabbos L'Hashem. So if you rely on the Heter Mechira, he said Mechal Shabbos Dino Ka'akum. So Rabbi Yosef Engel, who was his mechutin, responds to that. He printed a whole sefer against his mechutin called Eitzus Yosef. So he writes that Shvius certainly is a dinder abanan. And then he goes even further. He says, you don't even need a het mechira, he says. We don't care, rely on this, obviously. He says, you don't even need a het mechira. He says it's a dinder abanan, Shvius bizman hazeh. And when it comes to a dinder abanan, b'shas hachak, it's like, yeah, everyone's parnasa. So he says, b'shas hachak, you can rely, there's a shi'a das yochid in the Rishonim, the Balamor, and the Ravid, the Shvius doesn't apply at all. No Yovel, there's no Shvius. There are Bonon, there is nothing. So he says we can rely on the opinion of the Balamor and the opinion of the Ravid that there's no Shvius at all. Shvius is the Rabbanon in a pinch, you can rely even on an opinion that we don't paskin like. Why? Again, because it's Elu V'Elu Divrei Elokim Chayim. That's also why, says the Mishnah Yaakov, we're Machmer. The Mishnah Brura has it carried over from the Balei HaTosfos, an inyan of being Machmer like Shitas we don't paskin like. The Mishnah Brura does this on every page. What's the inyan of being machmer like a shita we don't paskin like? Again, because elu v'elu divrei elokim chayim. Even though we don't paskin like that, there is truth perhaps to that perspective. So getting all the way back to that Mishnah we began with. The first part of the Mishnah is, kol machlekes l'shem shamayim soif l'iskayim. If it's a machlekes l'shem shamayim, it endures, it persists. In what sense? That's not a good thing. Says Rashbaz, no, what it means is, both opinions are representatives of, you know, certain aspects of truth. So it's Elu V'Elu Divrei Elokim Chayim. But a machlekes of Karach V'Adosai was not Soifel L'Hiskayim. We don't apply Elu V'Elu Divrei Elokim Chayim to Karach V'Adosai. Why not? Why doesn't it apply to Karach V'Adosai too? So the reason is, if you flip the page, is because this Elu V'Elu Divrei Elokim Chayim has its limits. Not everything is included within Elu V'Elu Divrei Elokim Chayim. Rashi writes in Masechtas Ksubis, that if you have machlokes amaroim, machlokes tanoim, about an original issue, how to darsh psukim, dindei raisa, we say elu v'elu divrei elokim chayim. But he says, let's say you have a machlokes amaroim, what did the Tana say? Vos hakazok? Did he say like this, or did he say like that? So says the Gemara, says Rashi, in such an instance, there's no elu v'elu. The guy, he only meant one thing. One of the opinions is true, the other opinion is sheker. So writes Rashi, you don't say Elu V'Elu Divrei Elokim Chayim in such a case. Similarly, it says in the biography of the Chofetz Chaim, I heard the same thing from Meir, in the name of Meir Soloveitchik, said in the name of his father, Brisker Rav, but here it quotes in the name of Reb Chaim, Brisker, that he once told the Chofetz Chaim that you only apply Elu V'Elu by the machlekesin that appear in the Gemara, maybe the Rishonim. Machlekes Achreinim, there's no Elu V'Elu. Why is there no Elu V'Elu? Why are we any worse? So I believe the answer is because most of our machlekesin are about what did he mean?
Did the Rebbe mean like this? Did the Rebbe mean like that? Does the Rambam mean like this? Does Rambam mean Shviyas Vanas as Deiraisa Derabbanan? There's no Elu V'Elu. Either he meant it's Deiraisa or he meant it's Derabbanan. It can't mean both. So that's what Reb Chaim said. In our time, our machlekes, for the most part, we don't say Elu V'Elu because we're arguing about what did the guy mean. So there's limits to this Elu V'Elu. When in the machlekes Karech V'Adasa, we don't apply Elu V'Elu either. Because perhaps another limit on Elu V'Elu, a limitation in our Masorah of Machlekes, we don't apply Elu V'Elu, if the two people who are having the dispute, not having a historical dispute, but the two people that are having the dispute are not on the same Madrega. If they're not contemporaries of one another, then there's no Elu V'Elu. This concept perhaps is found in the Kesef Mishnah. The Rambam writes at the beginning of the second parak of Hilchos Mamrim, that if you have a Beis Din HaGadol, darshins a pasuk one way. At the end of the first line, V'omer acherim Beis Din acher, v'nira lo tam acher, another Beis Din arises, and they want to darshin the pasuk a different way. So hareza soyse v'dan kefi mash nira be'enav. They have every right to darshin the pasuk differently and disagree. Shenemar el ha-shayfit ha-shayyihye b'yomim ha-hem. You should come to the Shaifet that exists in that generation, Yiftach Bedaira Kishmuel Bedaira. Yiftach in his generation could disagree with Shmuel.
You should have applied it to the one before also,
Yiftach
Bedaira.
Yeah.
Yiftach Bedaira is the same thing.
Same thing, so therefore what?
Eilu
V'Eilu. So I think many Machlekes, you have to say our Machlekes and Mizman Hazeh, our Machlekes, what did the Rambam mean? Rambam only meant one thing.
You have a contemporary shiloh.
Also, if you have a contemporary shiloh and a new thing that comes up, din deiraisa, it's a machlekes between Rabbi Akiva Eiger and the other achronim, you have to put the get, v'nosim b'yod, it's all have to be in her hand, going to be sticking out of part of her hand. Original machlekes about a din deiraisa, it doesn't appear anywhere before. It's such a thing. You'd say elu v'elu, I agree with you. But what Rabbi Chaim meant is most of our machlekes are about what did the guy mean? What did the Rishayna mean? They mean this, or they mean that. But you're right, if you have a machlekes, then we would say elu v'elu. But as the Kesef Mishnah, over here, Yitzchav Gimel, if a later Beis Din has the right to disagree with an earlier Beis Din, so then how come the Tanoim, Amoroim, didn't disagree with the Tanoim? Basic question in learning. Amaylo pligi Amoroi atanoi. Why is that like an insurmountable question? They could just disagree. Yiftach b'dara k'shmul b'dara. So writes the Kesef Mishnah, ve'efshar loimar, shemiyoim chasimus ha-mishnah, they accepted upon themselves not to disagree. Why did they accept upon themselves not to disagree? They accepted. Was it just arbitrary? They said, you know what? It'll make things more complicated. Let's just not disagree with the Tanaim rules of the game. Why did they accept upon themselves not to disagree? So, Raja Bochanan in the Kovitz Ha'oris, the Chazanish has the same thing in his letters. It's because they recognized they were no longer able to understand what the Tanoim were saying. In order to disagree with someone, you have to if one guy's speaking Chinese and the other guy's speaking Spanish, they can't have a machlekes because they can't understand. I mean, I guess they could, but they won't understand what one another is saying. How could you disagree if you don't understand what I'm telling you? You're not a bar plugta. You're not pushing, not in the part of the conversation. Because in order to disagree, you have to understand what I said. So the Amoraim realized, says Rabbi Chanan, that there was a certain point in history where there was a precipitous drop in knowledge of Torah and Yerushalayim. They had passed the point in history where they didn't relate anymore to the Tanoim. It was gone. And therefore, they accepted upon themselves not to disagree because they simply were not in the same category. They were not a bar plugta of the Tanoim. Chazanish writes the same thing happened at the end of the period of the Gemara. The Gemara says, Ravina v'Rav Ashi Seif Hayra. Ravina v'Rav Ashi were the last of the Amoraim. That's it. We don't disagree with the Amoraim anymore. Why not? Says the Rambam. You could disagree with people from previous generation. Says the Chazanish, we're not in the same madrega as these people. We Pasha can't even understand how they arrived at these conclusions that we can now say, I disagree. So there's a limitation, perhaps, on this concept of Elu v'Elu as well, with regards to two people who are not on the same madrega. They're simply not bar plugta of one another. When Ramesha printed the Igros Moshe, so there was a Rav from Borough Park, named Yom Tov Schwartz, Satmar Chassid, who printed a sefer called the Mana LeIgros, the answer to the Igros. Because he was upset. Rav Moshe, every page disagrees with the Neid of Yehuda, disagrees with the Chassam Sofer. So who do Rav Moshe, who do you think you are, disagree with the Neid of Yehuda, Chassam Sofer? So he lists, his mind, a whole book goes through every tshuva, Igros Moshe, who he disagrees with. So Rav Moshe responds in one of the Hakdamah to one of the Svarim, Igros Moshe, he says he doesn't think he's as great as the Chassam Sofer, as the Neid of Yehuda, but he thinks he's at least in the conversation. He's in the same class as the Neid of Yehuda, Chassam Sofer. Maybe the person disagreed, but he thought he was not as great. But Yiftach B'Daira, Kishmul B'Daira, he didn't think there was a precipitous drop like you find after the period of the Amoraim. Maybe after the period of the Rishayim, there has been. We don't disagree with the Rishayim. There has been such a precipitous drop. You know, just a different category, a different league. And this idea applies in our time as well. It bothers me when you find people research one area of halacha. A guy researches medical ethics. And that you often find in doctors. I don't mean to... We have no doctors here. We're all in the financial district over here. We can speak freely. So if you have a doctor, researches medical ethics. Then he paskin shilas in medical ethics. If you can't tell me if a button falls off on Shabbos, if that's muksa or it's not muksa, and you don't know what halacha is if you use a milchik spoon or a fleshik pot, so then you know one little thing, you're not in the same adrega, you're not in the same conversation, you're not a bar plukta of the people you're discussing. If he's just going to collect and be mafarsim what it says in the svarim, that's a marbis tyro, that's great. But if he's going to issue a regional psalkim, disagree, you can't do that. You might know one little area, a person knows just tarsa mishpacha. You might know it very well, but you're not about plugged of the people who you're discussing. You can't disagree, you're not in the same class, in the same league. The Mesilas Yesharim gives a mashal to this. He says a person, life of Ruchnius is like a maze. They have them in London, in the Palace of Versailles in France. They also have these maze of hedges. And the king and queen used to sit up in a balcony and watch their guests would arrive, and they'd watch them run through the maze, like little mice in a maze, and it would entertain them. So Mesilas Yesharim says, that's what life of Ruchnius is like. He says, we're searching for the Ribbono Shel Olam, and life is like a maze. It could be you know one little leaf in front of you. I have a magnifying glass on the leaf in front of me that doesn't give me any guidance about how we should proceed, how to get to the Ribbono Shel Olam. The Mesilas Yesharim says a gadol is a person who's very tall, so he can see over the hedges and he sees where the different paths are going to lead. So too, in order to disagree, a person can't just have a magnifying glass in one area of halacha. He's got to be a bar plugta of those that he's arguing with. And it could be that's why Moshe Rabbeinu's name is left out of the Mishnah. That's why Elu V'Elu doesn't apply to Korach V'Adasai. It's because Korach was disagreeing with Moshe Rabbeinu, but he wasn't on the same adrega as Moshe. He wasn't a bar plukta of Moshe Rabbeinu. So writes the Abar Benel over here, Ois Chaf Hei, Lo Nizker Kan Shem Moshe, Rach Machlekes Korach V'Adasai. Moshe Rabbeinu is not mentioned. Why not? Shachaylik al Rabbi, lo nechshav Rabbi kichaylik olav. There's no dispute going on here. Korach disagreed with Moshe. Moshe Rabbeinu was not disagreeing with Korach. He's on a different madriga than Korach. It wasn't a bar plukta. And that's why perhaps Moshe Rabbeinu's name is left out. And that's perhaps why it's not soifel lehiskayim. Elu v'elu doesn't apply to these types of machlekesin. Because the two people who are involved in the machlekes are not a bar plukta of one another. And in our time as well, we can are encountered sometimes by contemporary machleksin between different individuals, even if they both might be called a rabbi. That doesn't mean that it's elu v'elu. That doesn't mean that they're a bar plukta of one another. It could be it's the same pattern of korach, that someone is arguing with someone on a much different madrega, he's on a different plane than the person that he's arguing with. And it's incumbent on every Talmud Chacham to have this self-awareness, to know where they fit in to the hierarchy of Talmidei Chachamim. There's a medrash on Parashas Vayikra, where the medrash says, "Kol Talmud Chacham she'en bo das." Any Talmud Chacham that doesn't have das, nevela toiva hayemenu. A dead animal is better. What does it mean, a Talmud Chacham doesn't have das? So Chedushi Arim said, what it means is he doesn't have self-awareness. He doesn't know where he fits in. He argues with people who are greater than him. So says the Chedushi Harim, a dead nevela carcass is better than this Talmud Chacham. Why? Because a dead nevela, a carcass, says the Chedushi Harim, smells. It stinks. So he says, we all know that it smells. Everyone knows that this is a nevela. Talmud Chacham, who disagrees with someone greater than him, the Ein Bo Das, So we don't know. People get confused. They see rabbis. So they think, oh, all of them are created equal. So they could all disagree with one another. But it's not true. And he fools people into thinking that this is a legitimate machlekes when it's no better than Karach Vadasa against Moshe Rabbeinu. They're not in the same madrega to have a disagreement. And that's indicative, you know, it helps instructive for us in our times. But I don't think, one last thought, I don't think Korach v'Adasai was simply that Korach lacked this self-awareness. Korach knew Moshe Rabbeinu was greater than him. But Korach was upset at the whole hierarchy. Why do we have to have this? Why do we have to have a pecking order? That this one is greater than this one is greater than this one. Korach was opposed to the whole thing. Rashi tells us in Chumash that Korach had two primary arguments. One was he brought a talus that was kulo tcheles to Moshe Rabbeinu. And he said, you have to put a string of tcheles on the corner. So Moshe Rabbeinu said, you do. So Korach mocked him. And he said, oh, what? A talus that's not made out of tcheles, one string of tcheles on the corner is enough. If the whole thing is made out of tcheles, you certainly shouldn't need tcheles on the corner. The other example he brought was a house that's full of Sifrei Kodesh. He asked Moshe Rabbeinu, do you need a mezuzah? Moshe Rabbeinu said, you do. So again, Korach made fun of him. He said, well, a house is not full of regular items. Enough with a mezuzah on the door. A house full of Sifrei Kodesh, why do you need a mezuzah at all? So Maharal writes in the Gur Aryeh that both machleksim were the same point, and there were two examples, one connected Moshe, one connected Aaron. That Korach was upset, why do we have to have you people, leaders, in charge? Why can't we all relate directly to a Kadosh Baruch Hu? Have a garment that's cool of tcheles, a house that's full of Sifrei Kodesh. Why do we need one mezuzah on the door, a leader? Why can't we, it's a democratic idea, why can't we all relate directly to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? And that's why Korach picked a fight with Moshe Rabbeinu. He knew he wasn't on the same madrega. He knew he was arguing with someone at a different level than him. But he was upset at the whole concept of a hierarchy that you have this pecking order. But it's critical, the reason why Korach was wrong, is that we all need a leader, someone who we're looking up to in order to be successful. We mentioned in the Shtiba last Shabbos, the Pasuk in Parsha Shlach, which says that when you look at the Tcheles or Isa Moisai, Uschartim is called Mitzvah Hashem. You look at the Tzitzis, you remember all of the Mitzvahs of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So how do you see from the Tcheles, see all the Mitzvahs? So the Gemara says, Maseches Menachos, because the Tcheles was Doim Yam, the Yam is Doim Rakia, the Rakia is Doim Kisei HaKavod. So I asked Moshe in the Drash Moshe, why do I need these all Madregas? I have to go to the Yam, to the Rakia, to the Rakia, to the Kisei HaKavod. Why can't we just have something that looks like the Kisei HaKavod and remind us straight of the Kisei HaKavod? Why do I need this whole progression? And Moshe explains, because everybody at their Madrega that they're at needs something that they're aspiring to, which is a model and an example of a greater level of Kedusha than themselves that they're striving to be like. That's what we need in order to be successful. So the Tcheles looks to the Yam looks to the Rakia looks to the Kisei HaKavod. Everybody needs something, someone that they're looking up to. That's why we have to have this hierarchy. Everyone needs something they're looking up to be successful. Reb Chaim Moizer once told the Chafetz Chaim at the end of Chafetz Chaim's life, it's well known, he wanted to go move to Eretz Yisrael. Throughout his life, a few attempts to move to Eretz Yisrael. At the end of his life, he wanted to move to Eretz Yisrael. Reb Chaim Moizer said, you can't go. Because if you leave, the whole pyramid falls apart. He said, you're the top. Everyone's striving to be like the Chafetz Chaim. That inspires everything. He says, if you leave, then we'll have to reorganize and everything will be thrown off. So we need this hierarchy. This hierarchy is critical. Korach was wrong. It's because in order to be successful, we have to have a model of Kedusha that everyone is striving to emulate and striving to be like. And in our life too, not only should we learn from Korach v'Adasai not to pick fights with people greater than us, and we should be aware of Talmidei Chachamim who are doing so, to understand that might be a machlekes of Korach v'Adasai. It's similar to Korach v'Adasai. But also, we in our lives have to recognize the importance of this hierarchy. We have to have a Rav, a Rebbe, someone who is a model of dedication, Torah and Mitzvahs, that we are trying to emulate, that we are trying to be like, a role model for ourselves. And it's also, we have to recognize, we are role models for our children, that they are looking to us to be those examples. And that's a responsibility for us to live up to what they expect us to be. We are the Yam. They're the Tcheles. They're looking up to us. And we have to live up to what that's all about as well. And Emir Tashem, if we keep this in mind, we'll be able to continue to grow Madrega from Madrega to go up in this progression of Kedusha, hopefully getting closer and closer to the Ribbono Shel Olam.
Can I ask a question?
How do we know today which one is the Shem Shemayim?
That's actually what I tried to say. Is that if